This morning, let's look at Numbers chapter 27, beginning with verse 12. Numbers 27, 12. Now the Lord said to Moses, "Go up into this Mount Abarim and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. And when you have seen it, you also will be gathered to your people as Aaron your brother was gathered. For in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation, you rebelled against my command to hallow me at the waters before their eyes." And these are the waters of Meribah at Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd." Now, God has just declared to Moses, "Moses, you've come to the end of the road. Your leadership is over. The time has come when you're going to have to check in, be gathered to your people." Interesting that the law could lead them out of the land of bondage, but the law could not lead them into the land of promise. The law cannot bring you into the full, rich work of God upon your life. That comes through grace. It can lead you out of the bondage of the past, but it can't lead you in. And so Moses is told that he is going to be gathered to the people, that is to his ancestors, and that he was not going to be able to do any more than just see the promised land. Go up on the top of the mount, Abarim. You look over and see the land, and after that I will gather you unto your people, even as Aaron was gathered. Now, Moses, being a true shepherd, loving these people that he had been leading through the wilderness for the last 40 years, he said to the Lord, "Lord, then raise up another leader. One that can go in and out before them. One that can lead them in and out. So that your people will not be as sheep without a shepherd." Moses had been a shepherd for 40 years of his life. He knew a little bit about sheep. And he knew that sheep without a shepherd would first of all be scattered. Sheep have very few survival instincts. They go wandering away from the herd with no concern for their own safety at all. In fact, the wolves will oftentimes just prowl around the edge of the flock, waiting for one of these little sheep to just sort of stray away. And as soon as it gets far enough away, the wolf will run in between the sheep and the flock, and the little sheep has only one defense: run. And so it starts running, and the wolf chases him until it gets him far enough away from the flock, and then the wolf devours him. But the sheep have very little sense of danger, very little apprehension, and they are so prone to wander away from the flock. In Israel, it is interesting to watch the shepherds out there in the fields. Usually they have a rod and they have rocks in their hands. And as the sheep begin to roam away from the flock, they'll yell at it and then they'll throw rocks out in front of it to keep it together with the rest of the flock. Otherwise, they just get scattered. And sheep can scatter so quickly if you don't keep your eyes on them. It's fun to watch in England where they use the sheep dogs. And they've got to be one of the most exciting animals, a sheep dog. And to see it as it is used by the shepherd, he whistles, he signals, and that dog can know exactly by the whistle and all what the shepherd is wanting. And he goes out and brings the sheep in, barks at them, gets them back in. And as they're driving the sheep along, it's just a thrill to see the way that dog just is back and forth and working the sheep and keeping them from getting scattered. Moses knew that if the people did not have a leader, if they did not have a shepherd, that the people would soon be scattered. They'd go wandering away from the herd and be devoured. God rebuked the shepherds in the book of Ezekiel. And it said, because they did not care for the flock of God, the flock had been scattered. Israel had gone into the dispersion. They had been conquered and scattered out among the other nations. And God blamed the shepherds for that. Those men who should have been leading the people were not leading them. And as the result, the sheep were scattered and destroyed throughout the world. There is a prophecy in Zechariah concerning Jesus. It says, smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. And Matthew tells us that that was fulfilled. The night that Jesus was arrested, all the disciples fled and forsook him, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saying, smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Without a shepherd, sheep would soon scatter. And that is why Moses said, Lord, give them a shepherd. Because he knew that they would then become prey without a shepherd for the wild beast. The sheep have no defensive weapons except to run, but most of their predators are faster than they are. A sheep cannot outrun a wolf or a coyote or a cougar or a mountain lion. And thus it's defenseless. Many animals can hide in rocks when pursued. Many animals can defend themselves. They have claws or fangs or whatever, and they can defend themselves against attacks, but not a sheep. A sheep is defenseless. It has to depend upon the shepherd for its defense and for its protection. You remember when David came to Saul at the time of the Philistine giant. He told about how that at one time a lion had grabbed one of his sheep. And he grabbed hold of the lion so that the lion turned on him and he killed the lion. Another time a bear had grabbed one of his sheep and he killed the bear. But that is the job of the shepherd, to watch over the sheep and to protect the sheep from those predators that would seek to destroy and tear the sheep. It would be a faithless shepherd who did not seek to protect the sheep against the wolves and the other predators. And that is why I warn the sheep concerning the wolves that are out there. Each time I do, I get a certain amount of mail. And people say, you didn't speak very lovingly about them. Aren't we supposed to love everybody, you know? And to expose these people doesn't seem to be a very loving thing for you to do. I'll tell you why I expose him. It's because I do love. I love the flock of God that often is a prey to these wolves. And it would be a faithless shepherd that would just say, oh, that's a nice doggy. Just go pet him, you know. Because there are men out there who are hoaxes. They're charlatans. They're trying to rip off the flock of God. Deceivers. And all they're interested in is fleecing you. Read their letters. Masterpieces of fleecing. As they have every gimmick in the book to try and separate you from your dollars. Using chicanery, outright fakery to try and emulate or imitate the gifts of God. W.V. Grant, Peter Popoff, pretending to have the gifts of word of wisdom and word of knowledge, when in reality they have little earpieces And they have someone off stage coaching them. Before you can be prayed for, you have to fill out a healing card. His wife interviews you and says, "Now, what do you want the Lord to do for you today?" And she writes down your description. And then as he starts to minister, she'll say, "The lady over there in the red dress." And he'll say, "Lady in the red dress over there, stand up." And the wife will say to him, "You know, she has cancer and she's been to the doctor and she wants the Lord to heal her tonight." And he say, "Let me see what the Spirit is saying for you, sister," you know. And he listens as his wife coaches him. Hey, that's a ripoff. Not pop-off, ripoff. And they're fleecing the flock of God. They're wolves. They're not shepherds. They don't care for the sheep. They only care for your wallet, your pocketbook. "But Gene, what a big cigar you have. All the better to blow you away, my dear. But Gene, what a filthy mouth you have. All the better to devour you, my dear." Now, there are some wolves that try to disguise as sheep. But then there are others like Gene that just make no pretense at disguising. I mean, he's just a wolf and he looks like it. Jesus said, "By this sign, men will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another." Now, in all of the time that I have watched him, which is not much, I have never once seen a loving act or heard a loving word from the mouth of that man. All I've heard is bitterness, rancor, strife, anger, no love. If love is the dominant sign of Christianity, and if love is the dominant sign of being a disciple, then he is lacking the one sign of a true disciple. And though he may have all knowledge and understanding of mysteries, and be a good teacher of the word, which I have heard. I've heard that said. I've never heard him really teach. All of that good teaching ability is nothing if you don't have love. You're lacking the vital sign. And as a shepherd, I feel it important, imperative, that I warn the sheep when there are wolves around that are seeking to devour them. I would be a faithless shepherd if I did not warn the flock of God. Moses said, "Lord, put a leader over them so that they will not be like sheep that have no shepherd," because he knew that sheep without a shepherd would soon starve. They don't have enough sense to forage for their own food. The shepherd has to lead them to the areas of food. Otherwise, the sheep will just roam in a circle, eating up all of the grass in that circle. But when he eats the grass, he's so dumb, he also eats the roots, so the grass doesn't grow again. If sheep stay in one place too long, they'll absolutely wipe out that area for pasturage again. That's why in the Old West, when they were settling the West out here, there was such a big thing between the ranchers and the shepherds. You know, there was always this conflict between the ranchers and the shepherds because the sheep absolutely destroy the grazing ground. Unless the shepherds keep them moving before they have a chance to eat the roots and all, they'll destroy the grazing ground. And that's why the ranchers hated them, because once the sheep had been there too long, they'd totally destroy the grazing for the future. And once the sheep has eaten, this within his circle, he just stands there and starves to death. Doesn't have enough sense to move on. And so they need the shepherd to keep them from starving, to keep them moving along. Moses knew that sheep without a shepherd would soon get lost because the sheep have no homing instincts. The Bible says now a donkey knows its master's crib. That means a donkey knows where the corn is, where it gets fed. In Israel a few years ago, there was a man who had committed a crime and they were chasing him. And so he left his donkey just tied there and went running home. He outran everybody. But when the detective came to investigate the crime, he untied the donkey and just followed it home. Because he knew the scripture that the donkey knows its master's crib. And the thief was apprehended and sentenced because he led the detective to the house of his master. Horses have tremendous homing instincts. You ever rented a horse? Man, try and get that thing to go. Coach it, urge it, you know, kick it in the flanks. Man, they just don't want to go until you turn around and then try and hold it back. I mean, when it's headed toward the barn, man, it takes everything you can to rein those things back. Because they have that homing, they know I'm heading home now. And man, they really rip when they're heading home. Cats, dogs have keen homing instincts. Not a sheep. As soon as the sheep gets around the corner of the barn, it's lost. Just out of sight, it'll begin to go, baa, baa, I'm lost. You know, I went around the corner of the barn, don't know where he is. Has no sense even to come back around the corner of the barn. He gets over the hill where he can't see the rest of the sheep, and he starts baying again. He's lost. All he has to do is walk around a rock, and he's lost. He has no homing instincts at all. So he has to have a shepherd, or he's going to get lost. Moses, because he had the heart of a shepherd, a true shepherd, when the Lord said, I'm going to take you on, Moses, you've been leading the flock long enough, he says, well, Lord, give them another shepherd, that they won't be like sheep without a shepherd. A true shepherd has a heart for the sheep. There's a difference between the shepherd and the hireling. You can hire someone to watch your sheep. But Jesus said concerning the hireling, he really doesn't care for the sheep. He cares more for himself than he does the sheep. And so in a moment of danger, he said, the hireling will run. He won't stand and defend the sheep. He's not that concerned with the sheep. He'll run from the danger rather than seeking to defend the sheep. Jesus said, because he is a hireling and not a shepherd. But Jesus said the shepherd will give his life for the sheep. And then he said, I am the good shepherd and I give my life for the sheep. There's a difference between being a minister as a calling of God upon your heart and being in the ministry as a profession. And unfortunately, there are too many professional ministers who really are not shepherds, they are hirelings, and do not really have the sheep at heart. They really don't care for the sheep, it's just a good job, professional ministry. God keep us from such a curse. The true shepherd desires to feed his sheep. The Lord promised Israel through Jeremiah that the day would come when God would give them shepherds after his own heart who would feed them with knowledge and understanding. When I read that passage of scripture, I prayed and I said, Lord, I want to be a shepherd after your heart. And that is when I began to devote my ministry to feeding the people with the knowledge and the understanding of God. Teaching the word of God that the sheep might be fed, that they might become strong in the word and in their knowledge and understanding of God. Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me?" Peter said, "Lord, you know I'm your friend." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." That was Peter's commission. Feed the sheep. And so later Peter wrote to the elders and he said, "Feed the flock of God, which is among you." And one of the greatest responsibilities of the shepherd is to see that the sheep have good food, nourishing food. That is why we do not seek to entertain you. There are plenty of churches where you can go and be entertained. You come here, you'll be fed. Because we want to be a shepherd after God's heart who will feed the sheep with the knowledge of God. The true shepherd will drive off the wolves that seek to prey upon the sheep. Because you are a Christian, because you love the Lord, and because the Christian is taught to be giving and is taught to be compassionate and is taught to be merciful, there are a lot of people out there that know that those are Christian characteristics. And so they come around the church to panhandle. And they'll catch you after service. And they'll start laying out their tale of woe and difficulty, and they'll try and panhandle you here on the church grounds, taking advantage of the fact that you're a Christian, you love the Lord, you're to be compassionate, and you're to give, and so forth. They take advantage of that, but they're nothing but charlatans. They are ripoffs, they're panhandlers. If someone comes up to you here on the grounds and starts to ask you for money, please contact a pastor as quickly as possibly and preferably romaine. Because we want to protect the flock against these wolves. David said, "I have never seen the righteous forsaken or God's children begging bread." And it is our desire to protect. There are people that actually go through the neighborhood, various neighborhoods, and they say that they are from Calvary Chapel and are soliciting funds for Calvary Chapel. If someone should come to your door saying that, call the police and call us. And hopefully for them, the police will catch them before we do. Because we have never solicited funds, nor will we ever solicit funds. And should the day ever come where we say, "Well, we better solicit funds," rather than solicit funds, we'll lock the doors of the church and we'll close house. And I'll give you an 808 number where you can contact me in Hawaii. Because God does not need our support. We need His support. God isn't depending on us to keep His program alive. We're depending on Him to do His work in our midst. And as long as God is doing His work, when God guides, God will provide, and God does take care of us abundantly. And we thank God for that. When I go out and speak like I have this last week, so often they'll say, "Well, now how much do you need for your expenses? You know, what is the honorarium that you require?" I can't even say the word, much less know about it. And I tell the people, "Listen, you don't understand. I have one of the wealthiest fathers in the world. In fact, he is. And he gives me just a generous allowance. He takes care of me. Every need I have, my father takes care of me. He takes care of me so well, I don't need anything. My father watches over and takes care of me. And I'm so glad to have a father who is more than a father. He's a shepherd and he takes care of my needs." But we're interested in protecting the flock against the wolves. And there are guys that come around here just to pick up on the gals. And when we are able to identify these guys, then we come up to them and we say, look, we don't want to see your face around Calvary Chapel again. We want to protect our sheep. And many a person knows that if they show their face on these grounds, the police will be called immediately. They're marked as wolves. They've tried coming on with too many gals. And that's their only purpose for being here. We're not interested in that. We're interested in being here to learn about God and to protect those sheep that are here hungry to be fed with knowledge and understanding. David, with all of his experience as a shepherd, one day was probably sitting down watching his flock and just musing. And with that beautiful artistic heart said, the Lord is my shepherd. There he was, so familiar with the flock. And it's interesting to me that God would use sheep to talk about us. Dumb sheep, you know. No instincts. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And I think that he just sort of just was overwhelmed by that thought. Wow, he's my shepherd. He's looking over me. Even as I'm watching over my flock, even as I'm seeking to take care of my flock, he's watching over me and taking care of me. And because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Others who are wiser than I will want. Others who are stronger than I may want. In fact, in another place, David wrote, the lions do want and they suffer hunger, but he who trusts in the Lord will be provided for. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. For he'll take care of all of my provisions. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. You know, there are four things that are necessary before a sheep can lie down. First of all, a sheep has to be completely freed from fear. If there is any kind of threatening situation, a sheep cannot lie down. Restless, it won't lie down. Secondly, a sheep has to be freed from striving with other sheep. If they've just been, you know, butting heads with another sheep or whatever, they can't lie down. It's got to be free from strife with other sheep before it can actually lie down. And then they cannot lie down if they are bothered with flies or parasites. And fourthly, they cannot lie down as long as they are hungry. So if you see a sheep that is lying down, you know that it's well fed, it doesn't have any strife, it doesn't have any flies or parasites bugging it, and that it is feeling a sense of security. It doesn't have any fears. Now David said, the Lord is my shepherd, and he makes me lie down in green pastures. I'm full. I don't have any conflicts. I don't have any fears. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. And because of that, I can lie down in the green pastures. I shall not want for refreshment, for he leads me beside the still waters. Now, it is important in watering the sheep that you bring them to still waters. If you bring them to a river with a fast-flowing current, the sheep will get right out into the current and be swept away and drowned. They can't swim. And they're swept away and drowned. Of course, the sheep get on its back. It can't right itself. It's a pretty helpless animal. If you want to just keep your sheep in the same spot, just turn on its back. All four legs up, and it can't get up. But not only will the sheep go right out into the current and drown, but the rest of the sheep will follow in right out. The fact that it's flowing down the stream, bad and drowning, doesn't bother the rest of them. They'll go right on in. And so it's important that the shepherd provide the still waters, find the calm waters for the sheep to drink, lest they go in and be carried away with the current and drown. I shall not want for strength because he restores my soul. Day by day, new mercies I see as God ministers his strength to my heart and to my life. I shall not want for guidance because he leads me in the path of righteousness. And so often we stand there at that crossroads of life. And with that weary traveler, it says, which way shall I take? Cries the voice in the night. I'm a pilgrim, a weary, and spent is my light. To the right, to the left, ah me, if I knew, but the way is so dark and the travelers so few. And we find ourselves at those crossroads, don't know which way to take. How wonderful it is to take his hand and to let him lead you in the path of righteousness. You know it's the right path when he is leading you. And you have that comfort and assurance, this is the right way. And you hear the voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. I shall not want for strength and fellowship, for thou art with me. Oh, that presence of God, what strength it brings, what comfort feeling his presence. I shall not want for love, for his rod and his staff, they comfort me. Now that's interesting. David had used the rod many times on the sheep, and he had had God use the rod on him. And he says, oh, what a comfort. David knew that you use the rod on the sheep to keep it in line. It was roaming off. It was placing itself in jeopardy. It was in danger. And because he loved the sheep, he would use the rod. Now, there's one phrase that I never did believe when I was a kid. I always figured my dad was putting me on. Whenever he would say to me, now, son, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And I thought, no way, you're not putting that on me. Because that hurts too bad. He used to use an apricot switch. And I mean, that hurt. I didn't understand that until I became a dad. And I had to discipline my own children. And I did realize that to discipline my children hurt me more than it hurt them. I hated that one aspect of parenting, discipline. I was a poor disciplinarian because of it. I was always more than ready to grant the last chance, two or three times. And the kids quickly caught on to that. And so as I was heading towards, they say, last chance, Daddy, last chance, last chance. Okay, last chance, you know. But when they had worn out all their last chances and something had to be done, I didn't enjoy it at all. It hurt me. It hurt me to inflict pain on those that I love so dearly. But I knew that it was necessary, for if I did not discipline them, then they could destroy themselves. God knows that if he doesn't discipline us, we can destroy ourselves. We don't have enough sense to stay out of danger. We don't have enough sense to keep ourselves. And so when God is using the rod, oh, what a comfort, he loves me. For the Bible says that whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And so the rod of instruction is just a sign that God loves me. And you know, somehow, I feel that it hurts him more than it hurts me. Oh, what a loving shepherd I have, who cares for the sheep, who gave his life for the sheep, that he might show his love for me. The Lord is my shepherd, and because he's my shepherd, goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. And then what? When the days of my life are over, when I've taken my last breath, then what? Then I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The good shepherd seeing that I get home safe, that I might dwell forever with him. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And he said, I lay down my life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, he said, and my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. The voice of a stranger they will not follow. Now it is interesting over there in the Holy Land that they have these enclosures where they drive the sheep in at night. And they're usually just a walled-in area, sort of protected by the wind. And all of the shepherds will just get together around the fire. They'll talk at night. And the sheep all mingle together. All of the various herds. And there may be 5 or 6 different herds all mingling together there at night within this shelter. In the morning, when the shepherd goes to the opening, and they usually sleep in front of the opening so the sheep can't get out without getting over the shepherd. But in the morning, when they go to the opening, the shepherd will call, and all of his sheep will lead the rest of the herds there, and they'll come and follow the shepherd. He'll give his whistle or his call, and the sheep know his voice, they know his whistle, and they'll follow him. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, they follow me. A stranger, you can go there and try and imitate the whistle. And the sheep will just, you know, not even look up. They know the whistle or the call of their shepherd. Oh, how glorious to have heard the call of Jesus in our hearts. And to have followed the good shepherd. He said, and I will lead them out to pasture. He is a good shepherd and he watches us and he keeps us from the wolves that are there seeking to devour us. As a good shepherd, he said, I know my sheep. And as a good shepherd, he said, I give unto them eternal life. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then one further thing. He said, because I am the good shepherd, no man can pluck them out of my hand. Oh, how secure I am. In the hand of the good shepherd, he'll not allow anyone to pluck me out of his hand. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, nakedness, peril, sword? Nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through his love for us. For I am persuaded that neither height nor depth, principality nor power, things present or things to come, nor any other created thing is able to separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. No man can pluck me out of his hand. I'm secure in the hand of my shepherd who cares for me, who feeds me, who provides for me, who protects me, and who is leading me safely home where I shall dwell with him, world without end. Thank God for such a shepherd. Shall we pray? Father, how grateful we are that Jesus Christ is indeed our shepherd, who watches over his flock, who cares for his own, who gave his life for the sheep. Lord, how we thank you for the way you've provided for our every need. How, Lord, we thank you that you have led us into the green pastures, beside the still waters. You restored our soul. How you lead us in your right path for your name's sake. Lord, you're so good. Thank you. And now, Lord, for those today who don't have this assurance, those today who have been sort of battered, they've roamed away from the flock and the wolves have been ripping at them. Oh, Lord, draw them back within the fold where they may experience the strength and the security of your watchful care. Your loving care over them. In Jesus' name, amen. And for you today who would like to just commit your lives to the great shepherd, the keeper of our souls, I encourage you to go back to the prayer room and there just ask the Lord to take over that task, to be your shepherd. He died in order that he might give life to you, in order that he might take you under his wing and under his care and guide and help and bless you. Why should you try and go without him? Not knowing what lies ahead, it's easy, so easy to get lost and confused. Why try and do it on your own when he's willing to take and lead and guide and direct your life and to cause your cup to overflow? God bless you and be with you today. May he ever have his watchful care over you as he loves his sheep and as he cares for you.